Good morning. If God's been good to you, say amen. Amen. We serve a good, good God. I'm very excited to be back here with you. Annie and I and Riley and Brian and Adam have spent about 10 days in Texas. We returned last week and we had an extraordinarily encouraging time while we were down there. And I'm so thankful for this congregation to invest in their youth, to encourage and disciple our youth by showing them in various ways that our kingdom that we're a part of, the body that we're a part of, is around the whole world. And that our young people getting to see other young people that love the Lord is a very special thing, a very eye-opening experience to see other young adults passionate about Christ and about His mission. And it's very contagious, and we're really excited for them to experience that and then to bring that back with us here in Alaska. And so we experienced a huge amount of encouragement while we were down there, and encouragement is what I would like us to talk about this morning. Encouragement is such a powerful, powerful attribute or a thing to experience, and it's also kind of a nebulous term, encouragement. We use the word often, but trying to understand exactly what it is was kind of difficult. But the definition of encouragement is to give support, confidence, or hope to someone. And so I want those three things to be pillars of our thought and of our thinking as we go through this lesson together. So I want you to repeat these three things as I put them on here. I'll say them. I want you to echo them because I want these to cement into our minds because they're going to be essential pillars of thought as we go through this lesson. So the first is support. Confidence. And hope. Yes, good. So we want these to be the lines of thought, these pillars of thinking for this lesson. These are the pillars of what it means to encourage, support, hope, and confidence. So we're going to be looking at the importance and purpose of encouragement in our lives. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, and this passage ends with a command, is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. We're told that we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep and those who are dead, that you may not grieve as others who do not who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of the command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We can have confidence from this passage because the authority of this message is not some theologian who, after looking at all these things, found some hidden connection and found the conclusion of what's going to happen. This is by the word of God. His people can have confidence in knowing by the authority of this message that Jesus is going to come back. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We can know with confidence, because this is the word of God, that Jesus is returning. This is an untouchable promise. No matter what the circumstances are of this world, no matter what we see in the news, no matter what somebody does to us or says to us, the fact that Jesus is coming back is an untouchable promise. And it's something as his people we can have confidence in, knowing that it is going to happen. There is going to be a conclusion to this world. This also gives us hope because Jesus is coming back to get us. We don't have to find some mystic spiritual pathway avenue that's hidden in secret to maybe obtain connection to Jesus by living faithfully, by being those who are alive. He's coming to pick us up. He's coming to us. And God of the universe is coming to us to take us back with him. So we can have hope in knowing that he knows what he's doing. And he's going to bring us back to him. We're not going to fall through the cracks. He's coming to pick us up. And the part here that really resonates for me, I hope it does for you as well, is this part here where we're told that we will always be with the Lord. Just a few words, but what meaning? We will always be with the Lord. Psalm 84:10 says, and this is David speaking, he says, I just want to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. I just want to be in his presence. I just want to be there. And that is such a perfect mentality to have. Because I think of heaven, and I have a really active imagination, and I think, wow, we're going to have a new body. We're going to be all together there. There's going to be no more sin. There's going to be no more suffering. We're going to live forever, and we're going to be able to experience things we've never can't even imagine. And God's a creator God. There's going to, who knows what else he's made for us to experience. And I'm so excited about that. But I heard a really challenging thought recently that, let's say, all those things we get to receive. We get to go to heaven. We get to have a new body and perfect health and eternal life. We get to be together with our loved ones. But how disappointed would we be if Jesus wasn't there? Think about that. We long and look forward to heaven. We look forward to escaping or being healed and comforted from the pain that we experience on this life. But if we got to heaven and Jesus wasn't there, how disappointed would we be? And it's a really challenging thought because it makes us focus and shift our perspective of what's really important to us. And we need to see that Jesus coming back and bringing us to be with him, that is our number one priority. That is the thing that our main objective is, to be with him. We are disciples of him. We want to be like him. We want to be close to him. And us being able to go together as his people and being forever with him and being comforted and healed in a new body, all that is awesome and part of him. That's his blessing to us. We are his church, and we need to make sure that our priority and our focus, our excitement, is that we will always be with the Lord. That's the hope. That's the confidence. That's the support that we can encourage each other with, is, hey, we're going to be with Jesus forever. Not like 10 million years, not maybe 100 billion years. That is a permanent statement, always. We don't really comprehend always. It's like infinity. It's something that goes on forever. We think in numbers and times and boxes, and always is an eternal statement. And it is really hard for our brains to comprehend, but that's the promise. Always. I mentioned this to you some of you several weeks ago. I was having a conversation that someone was asking about, well, what if I sin in heaven? Like, what if I tell a lie? Or what do I, like, fall out of grace? And we talked about, well, Jesus or God didn't design us to sin. He didn't destine us to sin, in the sense that it wasn't until Satan showed up in the garden that Adam and Eve were deceived. And when we are in heaven, Satan's not going to be there. We're not going to listen to any of his lies and deceptions anymore. And so we are going to be able to be with God forever and not fall from grace. And this promise of always be with him is not going to be jeopardized, because I know I make mistakes. And forever is a really long time. And I could see the line of thinking of the nervousness of, well, what if something happens in eternity? Well, that's not the promise. The promise is you're going to always be with the Lord. And I think God knows what he's talking about. So what can be better than being with Jesus? I mean, what can really top that? That needs to be our focus as his people. And that needs to be what gives us encouragement, is that the one who paid the price for our sins, the one who's going to take us to heaven, we're going to be with him forever. And there's nothing better than that. So these words here, this is the word of God. This is our Father talking to his people about what's going to happen. We need to let that really sink in. that Jesus is coming back, and as his people, we're going to be with him forever. That really needs to change the way we think and act and live together. And it needs to be something that we express to each other, as we're told here at the end, to encourage one another with these words. These are God's words, and we need to express these to each other, that Jesus is coming back, we're going to be with him forever. These are things that are going to change our lives, because these are the words of our Father. The words of a father impact the life of a child. Okay, I'm going to show you a video. It's kind of funny, but I think it demonstrates well the impact that the words of a father can have on a child. Did you notice that her goals never changed that whole time? The whole time, she's like, I just want to jump on top of this stool, on top of this step stool. Her goals, her objectives never changed, but it wasn't until she listened and obeyed and applied the words of her father, she took to heart the words of her father, that she was able to jump on top of this stool. Everybody wants goodness in their life. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, man, I wish my life was miserable. No, everybody wants goodness. Everyone wants to go to heaven. Everyone wants healthy friendship. Everybody wants family and purpose, connection, fulfillment. Everyone desires these things. But it's not until we listen to the words of our Father that we're able to obtain these things or to be able to achieve these things. It's not until we listen to the voice of our God that our lives are changed. It's something we can't do on our own. We have to hear what he has said, and he has spoken clearly to us through his word. We need to be inspired by what he's told us, by what he's done for us. Recently, I've been reading that something really interesting, and that in particularly men in the church, something that we have been struggling with across the board, one of the major struggles isn't necessarily pornography, it isn't necessarily pride, but one of the major handicaps and obstacles of men in the church in the United States today is the lack of inspiration. Think about that, the lack of inspiration. We need to look at Christ. We need to look at his word, his promises, what he's done, and we need to let Christ motivate us and inspire us. He is what we chase after and pursue, not just men, but all of us. We need to be inspired by the things that he said to live faithfully and to do what he's called us to do. We need to be encouraged by him, and we need to express what he's done and said to us as encouragement to one another. Encouragement in our lives is critical for the growth of the church. It's watering the planted seed that's been put into your soul. And it's that seed that God grows through the watering of it. I think of the early church, and right when it's getting started, the Holy Spirit sends out two men, among others, but ideally he sends out Paul and Barnabas to go and spread the word and to plant churches throughout the world in the first century. And we think of Paul as he's just this intellectual man. He is showing the pattern of the gospel, and he's teaching the true doctrine of Christ, and he's reaching out to the Gentiles. And then with him, the Spirit also sends Barnabas, and his name literally means son of encouragement. And so we see these two men traveling around the world, planting churches, and the church is just exploding. It's just growing so much. And I think there's some really practical lessons to learn from this dynamic, that not only do we need to be teaching truth, we need to also be promoting and expressing encouragement to those who are accepting the truth. We need to plant and water, and through that, God grows his church. It creates this really amazing cycle where you look and you read, wow, this is the word of God. This is true. And from that, you gain this encouragement of, wow, God has spoken to us. It changes my life. And then from that encouragement, you're like, I want more of this word of God. And you look at it and you're like, wow, this is what God said. And then that encourages more. And so it's like two sides of the same coin and creates this cycle of just growth and fruitfulness that is truly beautiful. So it's not enough just accepting, yeah, that's true. It's like, no, that's true, and I have to let that change the way I live. And when it's changed the way you live, you want more of that truth. And there's just this perpetual growth that comes from this cycle. So encouragement is watering this relationship with God that Jesus created. I want us to look at this relationship for a moment. And I want to remember what Jared read for us just a moment ago about Jesus telling us the importance of abiding. Because our relationship with Jesus is so important. And relationship is a good word, but Jesus uses the word abide. He says, abide in me, and I in you. And abide means to live in. He says, live in me, and let me live in you. And this importance of abiding is so critical, and it's so exclusive to the point where Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. That girl jumping on that stool, she was much more graceful than me trying to do things without God. Without God, I can do nothing. I can't even get close to being fruitful. I can't. I can do nothing without him. And so Jesus says, I am a requirement for your growth, not just a good portion or an important part. He says, I am exclusively necessary for growth. Without me, you can do nothing. So encouragement is support, confidence, and hope. And those things truly only come from Jesus. Real support only comes from Christ. Like Gary mentioned earlier, getting ready for the Lord's Supper, in Matthew 11:29, we're told, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. I'll give you rest. And a yoke is this contraption they would put on two oxen, where one ox would be able to transfer power to another ox pulling this cart. So if one ox was weaker, this yoke would then even out their power so they could work together properly. That's what Jesus does for us. He says, take my yoke upon you. He's like, bind yourself to me. We're going to go through this together. So real support only comes from Jesus. What about confidence? Does Jesus give us any confidence? I think of John 16:33, where he says, take heart, I've overcome the world. Who else has overcome the world other than Jesus? That's our master. That's our king. We have confidence in knowing death can't even hold him down, and he's going to return. So we can have this confidence in knowing, the real confidence knowing that it only comes from Jesus. And then we also see that real hope only comes from Jesus. In John 14, verse 3, he says, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and take you to this place. So we have hope in knowing that this God, our God, Jesus, he's going to come and take us to be with him forever. And that gives us real hope. So confidence, support, and hope, these things can only truly come from Jesus. Because again, he says, without me, you can do nothing. So true encouragement, real encouragement, this watering the soul is only done by connecting to Christ. And we can help others connect to Christ. And that's what encouragement is. Now, encouragement doesn't just happen naturally, or it doesn't just happen spontaneously, but it's something we need to be proactive in. I want to show you a challenging verse here in Hebrews 10, verse 24 through 25. We're told that we need to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Our level of encouragement towards each other should always increase, should never dip, because as the day draws near, I don't know exactly when Jesus is going to return, but I can tell you when he's not returning, he didn't return yesterday. So every day that comes by is one day that we get closer to the return of Jesus, and is another increase in the amount of encouragement we should be expressing to one another. So as the day draws near, our encouragement towards one another, our stirring up towards one another for love and good works should be increasing. It's this considering of how to stir up others to love and good works is the thought process that brought Annie and I back to Alaska to work with the churches here throughout the state. It was we're praying, and to this day we continue to pray and strive to how can we serve and be fruitful here, and how can we assist other Christians to serve and be fruitful. It's our prayer, and we want you to continue to pray with us in that. But this verse also calls us to be creative. It says, let us consider how to stir up others for love and good works. We have to think about it. How are we going to do this? It calls us to be creative. So Annie and I have been praying that God brings and raises people up in Alaska and from outside of Alaska to come and serve here in Alaska throughout the whole state. And God is answering that prayer. He's brought Lauren and Penny back here to us from Thailand. God's brought our AIM students here, the four that we have now. God's bringing another team here in May. There's another four that are going to overlap with the ones we have now. Something else that's exciting that's happening is we have been recruiting preachers to come up and to help out and be missionaries here in Alaska throughout the congregations throughout the state. And they're going to come up and do like a survey trip, and they're going to do for the summer, we're going to have interns. They're going to be traveling around Alaska and looking at these different places that don't have consistent leadership, or they don't have full-time leadership. And we're trying to assist these congregations by providing families and men that can lead in this capacity. And God's bringing people up here, and it's exciting. So we have these AIMers coming up. We have these AIM students coming up. We have these interns coming up. And we're also expecting at the end of August, God seems to be bringing someone else here to Alaska that we're really excited about. So about the end of August, the beginning of September sometime, we're really praying about this new addition to our team here. We're overjoyed to share this answered prayer with you. This has brought us closer to God, this experience here. And I can't express enough, though, that this overwhelming happiness from this pales in comparison to who Christ is, to what Christ did on the cross, to what Christ is doing to bring us back to be with him always. This pales in comparison to who he is and what he's doing. I want that to really cement into your hearts and mind, and into mine as well, because this is so exciting and is overwhelming with joy, but it's not still the same encouragement that Christ gives. It's not the hope and confidence and support that Christ gives us. And so I want to keep that in perspective, but I also want to share this joy. I want to share this with Annie. I want to share this with you to stir you up to love and good works, that God is answering prayers and that he is working in this place and through these people. And we're so humbled to be given the responsibility to introduce Jesus to this little one, to our little one. And we are excited for you to also be part of that process. I want to conclude with this passage in 1 Thessalonians. I think it's going to wrap things up for us well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, when people are saying, there is peace and security. Then suddenly destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in the darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and for those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and of love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Listen to this. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We don't know when Jesus is returning, but we know with confidence that he is. And we are all children of our Father, God. We need to hope in the fact that he is going to return. And we have support through obeying his commands. One of which I've underlined and highlighted and want to emphasize with you is to encourage one another. Build one another up. That's not an option for us as Christians, but a command from God that we are to encourage and build one another up. This is your mission from God. Something that Christ, or that Annie and I have put on our hearts, our mission statement, if you will, and us being in Alaska, is to know Christ and to make him known. And that's what we wish to extend to you as well. So set it upon your heart to encourage others and build them up by showing them Christ, without whom we can do nothing. With that in mind, let's stand and sing the next song that's been selected.